take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, November 11th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be Veterans Day here in America, and we salute our veterans who signed up and served our country in the Army, the Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, National Guard, our special services, our secret services, everybody who puts their life on the line to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And regardless of how you may feel our leaders have used or at times misused our military, our hearts and our respect go out to those who sign up for the military and who pledge their lives, like I said, to defend this country. Thank you so much for doing so. On today's show, a very special look at Veterans Day. Joining us at half past, we're going to have a cannabis community chat with Michael Kravitz. He is the man behind Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, and he's got some news to break with us here on 420 Radio. So we'll talk to him at half past the hour. Also on the show today, time for a radical rant at the end, the long road from legal to equal. Got a lot of people contacting me saying, I must be so excited that marijuana is legal in Oregon. What am I going to do now? And this rant will tell you that marijuana becoming legal is just the beginning of this long, strange trip. So stay tuned for that at the end of the show. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines where in Oregon, the prosecutors in Multnomah County have agreed to drop any pending charges for marijuana violations or crimes that will be made legal under Measure 91 on July 1st, 2015. Kind of mimicking what happened in Washington and Colorado when they passed their historic first legalization initiatives back in 2012. We're going to do some drug war data mining. The FBI's Uniform Crime Report came out yesterday and we gave you the figures from it. I had some people asking, where do you find those figures? How do you do that calculation? We'll take a look at that in the drug war data mining. But we start things off with the 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, growers in Boulder, Colorado may be facing fees to offset global warming. Portland, Oregon's annual hemp stock festival has already been rejected for next year by the Portland Parks Bureau. The governor in Texas hasn't even taken the oath of office, and lawmakers are preparing for drug testing for welfare bills, mimicking legislators elsewhere throughout the country. We've got Denver's Broadway Avenue finding out that some people really don't like pot shops that much. We'll tell you about a meeting that went pretty bad pretty fast in Denver, Colorado. And a company out of Oklahoma looking to make a mark in the e-cig and vapor pen market now that marijuana is legal in four states and the District of Columbia. Then stay tuned for hour two in Toker Talk Radio. We got some stories to talk about. One that I was just clicking on, Jasiri X, the hip-hop artist and activist, tweeted out a story that just blew my mind. You know how we tell the stories of people whose dogs get shot by cops when they break into their home and how tragic that is? Well, we've got the reverse story for you coming up in hour two, and it will turn your stomach. So stay tuned. It's coming up all on the Russ Melville Show and Toker Talk Radio, the next 2 hours live from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. You can become a member of 420 Radio by visiting our website, 420radio.org/donate. Make a monthly donation, get all sorts of special benefits, and help support independent marijuana journalism. We're back with the radio news right after this. Stay tuned.
Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Hey, what's up? This is Killer Mike, one half of Run the Jewels, and I'm telling you, November 23rd through 27th, you need to be at Cannabis Cup. I did it last year, and I got so high, I can tell you what color Jesus's furniture is. I got so high, I kissed the sky twice. I got so much enlightenment, I know Buddha's last name. Do you feel what I'm telling you right now? The people are great. You don't have to search or call your sketch-ass dealer who won't call you back. You don't have to go lurking through the hood to find good smoke. You need to get out of the country. You've been sitting on your block too long smoking weed. Get out and have an adventure. See you at Cannabis Cup, November 23rd through 27th. Yeah.
FourTwentyRadio.org presents Gordon Green's Music Planet from Barcelona, Spain. Gordon Green has been traveling the world for more than 20 years, discovering and collecting great music along the way. His mix of eclectic sounds from around the globe prove that you don't have to understand the words to enjoy the music. Check out the show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time with replays Wednesday at 5 and 8 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, November 11th, 2014. Marijuana growers around famously pot-friendly Boulder, Colorado next year will start paying special fees to offset their contributions to climate change. A new county assessment on electricity usage by marijuana growers is the latest effort by governments and power companies to respond to the heavy demand that legal marijuana grows place on the power grid. In Colorado and Washington State, the vast majority of the legal recreational marijuana is grown indoors under powerful lights used to mimic the sun. In the Pacific Northwest, utility experts say marijuana growers in 20 years will be demanding as much electricity as a small city unless they can persuade growers to switch to more energy-efficient LED lights. The Northwest Power and Conservation Council said it expects an explosion in demand over the coming years as growers in Oregon, Washington, and other nearby states boost legal production. Portland, Oregon's annual Hemp Stock Festival has already been rejected by the Portland Parks Bureau. Portland Parks officials waited until the day after Oregon's historic vote to legalize recreational marijuana to mail a letter to founder Paul Stanford. It was a firm denial of his request to hold the 2015 Hemp Stock at Portland's Tom McCall Waterfront Park or any other public property. The denial, quote, stems only from the inability of organizers to manage the event in accordance with the necessary conditions clearly outlined and revisited on multiple occasions, end quote. According to Sean Rogers, the Parks Bureau Customer Service Center Manager, who said he heard speakers from the main stage tell attendees to go outside the gates to consume marijuana. Rogers and other parks officials were quick to say the denial was about this group of organizers, not an indictment of marijuana supporters in general. Quote, there is no reason why an event can't be done legally, lawfully, and well managed, end quote, Rogers said. Before Governor-elect Greg Abbott has even taken the oath of office, lawmakers in Texas have already filed a proposal that would require drug testing for welfare recipients. That comes 2 years after Texas passed a similar mandate for unemployment benefits. In Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker has said he wants recipients of food stamps and unemployment benefits to undergo drug tests, a move that could face possible legal trouble. The state is already one of five that require public assistance applicants who are convicted of drug felony charges to be tested for drugs, along with Maine, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. Two states have passed legislation this year requiring drug tests for some public assistance applicants. In Alabama, applicants can be drug tested if there is a reasonable suspicion, which can include convictions related to drugs within the five previous years or failing to pass a screening. Mississippi assistance applicants must fill out a questionnaire and then take a drug test if their answers raise suspicions of drug use. About two dozen pot shops on Denver's Broadway Avenue had a marketing idea for the upcoming holiday season. Why not join forces with neighboring antique shops to market the whole area as the Green Mile? The pot shops called a meeting, expecting an enthusiastic response from neighboring businesses that have seen boarded up storefronts replaced with bustling pot shops with lines out the door. Instead, the suggestion unleashed a torrent of anger from the antique shops. Quote, "We don't want to work with you," said James Neisler, the owner of Heidelberg Antiques. Quote, "Your customers, they're the long-haired, stinky types. They go around touching everything, and they don't buy anything," end quote. The meeting went downhill from there. The pot shops feel they've revitalized a blighted neighborhood. Some tenants say pot has ruined a neighborhood lined with storefronts that date to the 1940s. As more states approve the medicinal and recreational use of marijuana, an Oklahoma-based electronic cigarette retailer is looking to build a national franchise. The growing availability of legal pot opens the door for Tulsa-based Palm Beach Vapors to market a method for producing a cannabis oil product that can be inhaled through a common e-cigarette, according to CEO and co-founder Chip Paul. Quote, "This is a wave that's kind of sweeping the nation," end quote, said Paul, whose company is looking to patent the method and has already signed licensing deals in California and Colorado for what it calls the M system. He said he intends to set up franchise locations in other states. Paul was one of the organizers of an Oklahoma initiative petition calling for the legalization of medical marijuana, an effort that ended in August when volunteers failed to gather the needed signatures of more than 155,000 registered voters. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, November 11th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville.
Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
Приветствую. Меня зовут Дэнни Дэнко. Мы от журнала High Times приглашаем вас в Амстердам с 23 до 27 ноября, чтобы вместить ежегодный турнир Cannabis Cup уже 27-й по счету. Там мы сравним множество будов марихуаны и гашиша из смежных кофешопов. Еще у нас там выставка табаров, семинары по выращиванию, ночные концерты и вручение премии за лучшие в мире сорты марихуаны. Билеты можно купить на сайте cannabiscup.com. Ждем вас!
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
The Pistachio. Green, natural, and available without prescription in all 50 states. He's fine.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And the big headline yesterday here in my home city of Portland, Oregon, is that Oregon prosecutors will drop marijuana charges before legalization goes into effect. That's Multnomah County, Oregon, that they're talking about here. And the county here has a population of about 750,000, about 750,000, 760,000 people. About 600,000 of us reside in Portland, and we are the state's largest city. Following our historic marijuana legalization victory with Measure 91, the Multnomah County District Attorney announced that the county will dismiss 50 pending marijuana cases where the violations in question will be made legal. In a statement that was released to the media, District Attorney Rod Underhill wrote, quote, "Because it is clear that a significant majority of voters in Multnomah County support the legalization of marijuana in certain amounts, this office will dismiss the pending charges related to conduct which will otherwise become legal July 1st, 2015. Any remaining charges not impacted by ballot Measure 91 will be prosecuted." End quote. Now, Measure 91 received 55.9% of the vote statewide, beating Washington's I-502 at 55.7%, Colorado's Amendment 64 at 55.3%, and Alaska's Question 2 at 52.1%, for the greatest measure of support for legalized marijuana markets ever recorded. Yeah, I know, Washington, D.C.'s Initiative 71 did get 69.4% of the vote, but that doesn't legalize markets. But here in Multnomah County, the vote for ballot Measure 91 was an overwhelming 71% in favor. Now, according to the statement from the district attorney, the county will not prosecute, quote, "future charges for conduct related to marijuana possession and delivery of marijuana, which will become lawful under Measure 91, absent exceptional circumstances," end quote. So not only do those 50 pending charges get dismissed, but between now and July 1st, marijuana is essentially legal in Multnomah County, Oregon, right here in Portland. For the next 8 months, they're not going to prosecute anything that's legal under Measure 91. That's fantastic news. That's a lot of arrests and a lot of tickets that aren't going to happen over the next 8 months. That means right now, 8 months prior to Measure 91 going into effect on July 1st, 2015, possession of 1 ounce of marijuana in public in Multnomah County, possession of 8 ounces and 4 plants at home in Multnomah County, possession of 1 pound of THC-infused edibles and a 6-pack or 72 ounces of THC-infused liquids will not be prosecuted in Portland, Oregon, or the rest of Multnomah County. Now, be aware, folks, that does not apply to hash oil. Under Measure 91, the homemade manufacture and possession of homemade manufactured hash oil is illegal. And under current law, it's illegal. So there's nothing that's protecting the dabs that you might have in Multnomah County. After Measure 91 goes into effect, you will be legal to possess 1 ounce of dabs that was manufactured by a licensed processor and sold in a licensed store. But possession of homemade dabs or making them yourself is going to be quite illegal. Still, 1 ounce in public and nonprofit transfers of 1 ounce to other adults, you know, if you're not getting paid, if you're just giving weed to someone else, that will not be prosecuted. Now, they do say absent exceptional circumstances. So, you know, if there were kids involved, firearms, other crimes, other drugs, you could still be facing charges under the marijuana laws, at least until July 1st, 2015. And just like Oregon, after they legalized in Colorado and Washington, the prosecutors in some of those counties, King County, Washington, Clark County, Washington, they dismissed pending marijuana cases before their law went into effect as well. And since then, the misdemeanor case filings for marijuana in Washington fell from over 5,500 to just 120. In Colorado, case filings involving marijuana were averaging about 700 a month. Now they're down to about 133. That's all marijuana cases. So people growing, you know, 1,000 plants and transporting 100 pounds. All cases down to 133. And according to the most recent FBI Uniform Crime Report, marijuana arrests nationwide have dropped by over 56,000. That's a drop of 7.5% and the fourth straight year that they have declined. Now, in two other metro area counties here in Portland, Clackamas and Washington, they're still considering what they're going to do about this. But in Clackamas, the vote was 51.6%, and in Washington County, it was 55%. They're kind of conservative suburbs, so we'll see.
I know nothing. Nothing.
That would probably be the Washington County Sheriff there. Hey, it's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado, and the rest of the Mountain Time Zone. I hope you're having yourself a good, relaxing, celebratory time. When we come back, we're going to look into that FBI uniform crime report in the drug war data mine. Show you how we get those figures when we come back.
FourTwenty Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
Hey, tokers and toquettes, Radical Russ here for the Canador, a practical solution to keep herbs from drying. The Canador is the perfect airtight storage system for your fine herbs. From the half-inch thick walnut and cherry wood construction, clear-top perforated jars for storage, and the humidity bead system that keeps your herbs at a perfect 65% relative humidity. I keep all my herbs in the Canador, and you should too. Check out Canador.com for more information.
420radio.org presents the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour with Herb Thrasher and Radical Russ from Portland, Oregon. Herb Thrasher Flower Hour is 2 hours of unrestrained rock, metal, punk, and alt-country music, interviews, concert bootlegs, and sports with America's hardest-rocking marijuana activist stoner, Herb Thrasher. Live 2 hours Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays at 8 and 5 on Fridays and replays Saturday at 8 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and the FBI releases the Uniform Crime Report every year, and it contains the data from the previous year, meaning we've just gotten the release for crime in the United States for 2013, the first full year of crime data since marijuana legalization went into effect in Colorado and Washington State. We'll post this in our chat room, so if you want to follow along, it's right there, but this is the website, and you can find it if you just Google FBI UCR. Two separate words there, FBI UCR. You'll probably get right to where you need to go. And most of these tables that you want to get are available for Excel. There's quick little Excel downloads that you can use. The website also provides a browse section for national, regional, state, and city data, not by particular city, but by population group, like big city versus medium city versus small city kind of stuff. Now, the information on marijuana arrests is what everyone always wants to find, but you're not going to find one specific how many people were arrested for marijuana number. But this is always found by using an estimate of all of the numbers that are given. You'll find, for example, in the overview section, and this is also available elsewhere, that nationwide, law enforcement made an estimated 11,302,000 arrests. Now, out of those 11,302,000, the highest number of arrests were for drug abuse violations, estimated at 1.5 million. So you have to start with that number in your head, 1,501,043. Now, I like to just copy this and use the Windows calculator to be able to get this information paste it in, and you can cut and paste into the Windows calculator if you didn't know that, and use Memory Plus to just put that number in memory. So now we've got it stored just how many people are busted for marijuana or busted for drugs in this country. So from that grand total number, we then need to scroll down a little bit farther where you'll find the arrests table, arrests for drug abuse violations, percent distributions by region. And this is on the very first page when you get to the FBI UCR. This is where they'll tell you how many people were arrested for sales, manufacturing, how many people were arrested for possession. But it's not in thousands or millions, it's in percentages. So of all drug arrests, what percent are arrested for heroin and so forth? From this, we learn that marijuana makes up 40.6% of all drug arrests. And marijuana possession. If you add the 5.6% that are arrested for sales or growing, that's 46.2% that are arrests for marijuana. So if we know that we've got 40.6 for marijuana possession, we've got 5.6 for marijuana grow and sale, that's, like I said, 46.2, we take that back to our calculator. We take our number, 1501, times, and then 0.562 for 56.2%, and that's what's going to give us our number of arrests, which seems to be coming out wrong. So let's see what I've done wrong here. All drug abuse violations, memory recall. Oh, I'm sorry, because I multiplied by the wrong number. It's 46.2, sorry, times 0.462, not 562, right? That's going to give us our number of 693,481 people, maybe 482 if you want to round up, that were arrested for marijuana. Now, you might ask, why is this? Are we having to do this percentage number? Why don't we just calculate exactly how many people were arrested? Well, there are tables here that will give you all sorts of arrest numbers. And when you hover over them, it'll tell you what that table represents. Now, I've done this a bunch of times, so I know table 69 is the one I'm looking for, arrests by state. And if I scroll down the arrests by state, we got all these states here. And eventually I can find, for example, my state of Oregon. And if we scroll across in this document, it's really badly built. You have to go all the way to the bottom to scroll across and then scroll back up to find your column. But there is a column for drug abuse violations. And for all those drug abuse, that's all drugs. And you'll see when we get down to the total number, or actually if we had the total number up top, they would not add up to what you had on the previous. That's because not every law enforcement agency reports to the FBI, so they have to do this by estimates.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about 7 people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour, and joining us on this Veterans Day, we've got one of my favorite veterans. It's Michael Krawitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. Michael, how are you? Hello, Michael, do we have you? Michael Krawitz trying to get you on the line. All right, let's see if we dial this call out again. If we can't get Michael on the line, he's been fighting for the veterans and their access to medical cannabis for years now, a frequent guest of our show, and one of the people who was instrumental in getting the Veterans Administration to end their practice of denying their pain medications, denying opioid pain medications through pain contracts. And he was able to get the Veterans Administration to relent on that in the states where medical marijuana is allowed by state law. And he's been, like I said, a frequent guest of the show. He was just trying to dial us back. We'll see if we can't get him on the line now. Michael Krawitz with Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. Hold on just a moment while we dial through. And there we go. Michael, it's Russ. Can you hear me?
He'll be there in 1 second. We've been having some phone problems.
Hello. Hello, Michael. It's Russ. How are you?
Hey, sorry about the technical difficulties up here in the mountains of southwestern Virginia. How you doing, Russ?
Doing great. It's kind of windy down here in Portland, Oregon. I wasn't sure if it was on my end.
No, I think it's on my end here.
All right. Well, a happy and solemn Veterans Day to you, sir. And we bring you on because I recently received a press release from California Normal of a couple veterans telling their stories about being denied pain medications. And apparently there's been some scheduling changes to some of these opioid prescription drugs that are causing some doctors to rethink how much they're giving out, especially to those veterans who might be medical cannabis patients. What can you tell us about this? Any updates?
Well, there's kind of three things that are working through the system. One is as a result of the massive scandal that I'm sure everyone is familiar with the VA. The Inspector General has looked at a lot of the VA's practices, and one of the things they weighed in on was prescribing practices of so-called opiates or controlled substances. And they complained that the VA wasn't doing enough, spot checking, that they were over-prescribing. And in fact, that lines up with a lot of the veterans' complaints that we get, that the VA is happy to give them a big, bag full of pills and send them home. And then on top of that, you do have that rescheduling, which puts a whole new class of drugs in Schedule 2 with that tighter control and the the increased scrutiny and the drug testing and everything that comes along with it. The meantime, the VA has been spreading kind of quietly, I guess, too quietly for our taste, a medical marijuana policy and a clear ethics doctrine that, when followed by the doctors, would allow veterans to use marijuana at the state level and coordinate that with whatever treatments are appropriate at the VA, maybe even including opiates or controlled medications. And in this case, in Southern California, we've got an administrator. It's kind of an unusual case. A lot of times we'll have trouble with an individual doctor, maybe even an individual hospital administrator. We've gotten the VA now at the highest levels to come out with policy we agree with. And we're often, by proxy, the spokesperson for the VA, because the VA doesn't want to comment about marijuana, I think rightfully so. So, we're okay with that. We don't mind speaking for the VA. We try our best not to say the wrong thing. I don't know that I've ever been corrected by the VA, knock on wood, right? But at the same time, we have this mid-level administrator somewhere in San Diego, over 1.5 million vets, controlling six VA hospitals, that just says basically, okay, no more medical marijuana users in my hospital. If you're using marijuana, you're going to have your opiates taken away and you're going to be tapered down. And hopefully the scolding that I imagine that administrator is getting right now internally in the VA will correct this. If not, we're prepared. And when I say we, a lot of activists in Southern California and California Normal, we have a pretty good sized cadre of a team down there ready to go if the VA isn't able to correct this on its own, really in short order.
Is there any estimate to how many veterans this is affecting right now? Any numbers?
Well, like I said, it's the actual vision, the group of hospitals that this administrator, who is not a medical doctor and who is the acting director of that group, is over six VA hospitals, and the total coverage is 1.5 million vets. Hmm. Now, in that, we recognize that maybe a minority of veterans that are using medical marijuana, but still a minority of 1.5 million is a significant number. And we always look at a handful of veterans in one area as a spike. that indicates kind of the tip of the mountain. So we you know, just kind of extrapolate that if I'm getting a few complaints, Ellen at California Normal is getting a few complaints, are coming in through other channels, there's a major problem there. I mean, one complaint once in a while is a provider problem. A big cluster like that indicates a systemic problem. And we went after it as such, and I think, you know, the vets involved were very keen to, you know, make sure they got the facility to say up front and in writing what the policy was they were following. And because we had that, you know, memo or ad hoc policy in hand, we were able to respond appropriately.
You know, another topic on Veterans Day that, you know, we should perhaps, you know, address here is this alarming stat that I caught in the Normal blog, that veterans are committing suicide at the rate of 22 every day. And this was posited against a recent study showing in the Journal of the American Medical Association that medical cannabis states have lower rates of opiate-induced fatalities and lower rates of suicide. This just seems to me criminal that we would deny veterans this access to medical cannabis when we have such an epidemic of veteran suicide.
Well, I've tried to look at that, and I've tried to be, you know, objective and trying to figure out why that is. And, you know, if you're looking at a little baby, a small child that's suffering from some sort of epileptic fit or seizure, and the mom or the dad or the doctor, whoever administers some sort of a highly, you know, CBD-rich medical marijuana product, and then that kid stops having seizures and is all of a sudden okay, that's really dramatic. It's very, you know, it's very easy to get your brain around. And, you know, for me to say, okay, I've got really good reason that if you throw cannabis at this population of vets, we will statistically lower their suicide rate, it's just, it's too esoteric. It's not real enough for the American people. Otherwise, I think they would be completely outraged to know that, you know, some of these deaths, at least some of them, and, you know, I point to, you know, drugs that are being given to these vets willy-nilly inside the system right now that actually have as a warning on the label that it might increase the risk of suicide. So, you know, if you reduce the amount of that drug, just like if you reduce the opiates and you lower the overdose, it's sensible to say if you reduce the use of these inappropriate drugs that are pharmaceutical and replace some of them with cannabis, that we can reduce some of that debt, as well as the direct action. And that's a direct action that you're talking about, pharmaceutical action, where cannabis is an effective medicine and it alleviates the urge to commit suicide in some patients. It's obvious.
Yeah, and, you know, with respect to other dealing with mental health issues, there's also the situation of post-traumatic stress that is dealt with by our nation's veterans. And we've seen so far some really good reports on the use of medical cannabis to cope with that. I know Dr. Sisley, the researcher at University of Arizona, now trying to get on at UNLV to do those studies, is still kind of in a holding pattern. Any new information on PTSD and medical cannabis?
Yes, we've kind of, I guess, I don't like to use these terms usually, but I really kind of feel like we're at a tipping point here with post-traumatic stress. I work with, you know, Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, and we're kind of a loose grassroots network of vets throughout the country, and we're connected with a lot of efforts throughout the country where, you know, we started with just the one state where local activists had created the qualification in New Mexico for post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition. And from that one state, we now have 8 states that list PTSD as a qualifying condition, and then, of course, California and Massachusetts, where they don't have such a list, you know, restraining doctors. And we're soon to add more. We've been working really hard in Maryland. We're hopeful that the new draft rules will reflect post-traumatic stress addition there, and onward. And we're fighting, ironically, in Colorado and Washington State are our last two kind of battlegrounds, where we've again and again presented the evidence to the commission and again been rebuffed, basically with no counterargument. There's in at this point, at this late state, where we have published reports of cannabis, you know, being used as an adjunct for post-traumatic stress down in New Mexico with great results, published studies, and a great record now in so many states. I working nationally, I've never received a complaint from anyone, from a provider or a patient, saying that they tried to use cannabis for post-traumatic stress and the benefits didn't outweigh the risk. I've never heard that. And we've never gotten any credible argument from anyone. The psychiatric community, the psychiatric medical doctors, seem to be very knee-jerk against us having post-traumatic stress added to state laws for medical marijuana. It's a turf battle. It's a battle over 1995 and whether marijuana is medicine is most of their arguments. all their arguments, in fact. So, wow. You know, that's the lay of the land. That's where we're at. I think we're going to see, you know, every new state that adds a medical marijuana program from this point on, hopefully, add post-traumatic stress as a matter of course, if they're going to have a list.
Yeah. Is there any indication that the reticence of Colorado or Washington to add PTSD is due to the fact they have legalized cannabis for everyone and they see no need to add it?
Actually, it's the opposite. In Colorado especially, the issue that was raised and brought to the voters very effectively, I have to tip my hat to the brilliance of Brian Vicente and Mason Tavert and the Marijuana Policy Project team and everybody that worked so hard in Colorado. And they saw, in their wisdom, without my input, to put a vet out in front of this. And Sean Azzurati got on TV and said, you know, as a veteran, I can't access marijuana through the state medical marijuana program for my post-traumatic stress because they're a bunch of beep, 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 you know, and I have to go basically and legalize marijuana so I have access. And sure enough, when they legalized marijuana in Colorado, the very first customer on TV around the world was Sean Azzurati buying his package of marijuana that he's legally able to do so for his post-traumatic stress. Without having to go through the state medical marijuana program. So, in fact, their resistance to add post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition became one of the bricks in the effort to legalize marijuana. And, you know, I just find it kind of a strange irony. You've been tailing Kevin Sabat around. You know about irony.
Yeah.
we have this situation where it was supposed to be a camel's nose under the tent. It was supposed to be medical marijuana was leading to legalization. That was the whole point, remember? Well, I'm out here working on medical access for vets, and we're struggling to get programs set up in Washington State and Colorado. And it's not helping that legalization has happened, but it's very ironic that legalization has happened.
Wow. Michael Kravitz, Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, thank you for all the work you're doing. Contact information if someone wants to get in touch with you.
I think the easiest way is we have a website and all that, but the Facebook is probably the easiest. Go to Facebook and /USA.VMCA, Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. And certainly anybody out there that wants more information about the VA policy or any veteran that's having issues inside the VA, if it's not something that we can help, you know, guide you to some help with internally, we'll send you to DAV or whoever we need to help, you know, with your problems. But we want to hear from vets. So anybody out there, and, you know, Veterans Day, I don't even know what to say. You know, we do our best as military troops to do what we're told by the American people, and it's not always the right thing to do. History corrects us sometimes, but veterans, you know, they're good people. I've been working with vets for a long time on these issues, and we got our problems, but you know, we put in our time. We took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. We took that seriously. We feel really bad about the things that are done in our name or with us as a weapon inappropriately. Just as I imagine if a Ruger 44 could feel bad for being used inappropriately. Mm. But they can't, and we do. And, you know, happy Veterans.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. You said it better than anyone could. We all honor and appreciate our veterans for doing the right thing, even when sometimes their leaders don't. Thank you so much. We'll come back with a radical rant, the long road from legalization to equality, when we return.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Answer the following questions by raising your hands.
Are you a teenager? Have you smoked weed? Do you smoke more than once a week? Do you have IQ points to spare? Scientists from Duke University found that teen marijuana use permanently reduced IQs by 8 points.
Thanks for your participation.
Don't be Al, a brat.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
At Royal Queen Seeds, we've got premium feminized cannabis seeds, including auto-flowering varieties for the medical cannabis user. We've got bulk shipments available and new CBD oil. Plus, we accept payment in Visa, MasterCard, and Bitcoin, as well as other methods. Check out our website at royalqueenseeds.com for more information. We are located in the Netherlands, and we have online grow experts ready to help you now at royalqueenseeds.com.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Having to do some quick adjustments on the fly right now because we got a special guest calling in on our phone lines here. We're going to our Skype line where Sharon Ravert is on the line from Peachtree Normal. How you doing, Sharon? Hello, Sharon. Do we have... Oh, hold on. Wrong button. There you go. Now you're on the air. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Do we have our special doctor friend on the line, too?
Yes, we do have Dr. Uma. Say hello to Russ, Dr. Uma.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
I'm fantastic. We just finished speaking with Michael Kravitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access, and I wasn't certain I'd get you on the show today, but I'm so glad I did. Folks, Dr. Uma is down there in Georgia right now, and don't you split your time between Georgia and another state?
I actually split myself globally. Between here, advocating Massachusetts and Washington. And Russ, I'm so happy and thank you for having me on. I'm really happy to hear that you guys are legal now.
Oh, yes. We are very excited to be legal. And in my county, it passed with 71% of the vote.
Excellent. Russ, one of my big things that I really feel as a challenge and as an opportunity is us, the healthcare providers, never knew about the endocannabinoid system or cannabis. And my motivation is actually to get this medicine out of Schedule 1 and how we can educate people, healthcare providers, to understand the medicinal uses and how it works, and nobody has ever died from cannabis. And always my statement is cannabis is not an entrance drug, it's an exit drug from pharmaceuticals and narcotics, and it is truly a medicine, and it's not for everybody, but we need to make sure we can get safe access.
Now, how's the fight been going in Georgia? I mean, how are people there reacting to seeing two more states going legal and so many more states that are coming on board with medical?
Sharon? Okay, well, for that one, things are moving forward rather quickly in Georgia, and it's all thanks to all of the hard work that people all over the country is doing. And yes, the votes that we just had come in have motivated some of the people on the medical cannabis board committee to actually be looking forward to a larger, more broad medical bill than we were looking at last year. So we're very hopeful for a broad spectrum medical bill coming up, and we're also in talks with a lot of people on the criminal justice issue and decrimming as well.
That's all so, really good news. And how about the medical vote in Florida? I mean, it came in at 58%, which, you know, considering a southern state in a midterm election, that's pretty earth-shaking, isn't it?
It was incredible. As you know, I was down in Florida a couple of times over the past 6 or 8 months, and They did an excellent job, a great job. We've got a blog post out where we did a little analysis of it at peachtreenormal.org. Florida was duped is the name of it. And so people should check that out. And, you know, Adelson coming in from Las Vegas and the whole deal with him trying to take over the casinos and fight with the Florida Seminoles and all the politics of it while people are dying and suffering. So I was very pleased with the vote. We would have loved to have seen 60%. But the fight continues, and 58%, like you said, in a midterm election in a southern state is huge. And we're going to try and, you know, expand on that momentum in every southern state.
Fantastic. We're speaking live with Dr. Uma Donna Ballin and Sharon Raver, both from Peachtree Normal, which I just misspelled in the tweet that I sent out. I'll have to fix that. But
one more thing, you know, I am not an attorney or a legal anything. I'm a physician. I'm a family physician, OCMED, and cannabis therapeutics. One of the biggest things that I feel is very important is to understand that right now cannabis in Schedule 1, and people need to understand what that means. Schedule 1 means that there is no research done in the United States, that there's no medical use, and that the potential for abuse. And I want to address each of those questions. There is research. If you put in cannabis in PubMed, there's over 12,000 articles. There is research done, if not in the United States, worldwide. As far as medical use, it goes back to 1839, if not older than that, in China. It was a medicine that was prescribed by doctors and put into prohibition by politics. And the other thing is potential for abuse. Anything has a potential for abuse. It could be from narcotics, pharmaceuticals, caffeine, exercise, whatever. Yet we know that this medicine has a lot of potential use without anybody, nobody has died from cannabis for us. And this medicine was legal here. It was in our pharmacopoeia till 1942.
Absolutely right. And Dr. Uma, in your practice and working with patients that are seeking access to medical cannabis on this Veterans Day, I'm wondering what your experience is in that regard and what you've heard from veterans who are dealing with everything from pain issues to mental health issues, post-traumatic stress, depression, and so forth, and their use of cannabis.
Thank you so much. I would love people to note down this web site. It's VET. PTSD study, study.com. Again, that's VETPTSD, study.com. This is a study for veterans that have PTSD and that are using cannabis in states where medical marijuana is available. Because as we know, every state does not have PTSD as a recognized condition. In all states that have medical marijuana. This is an opportunity for vets to be partaking in a place where they can all participate and use medicine and show how it's working for them and get off their meds. And a big factoid, we are losing a vet every 63 minutes to suicide.
Yeah, it's sad. We were just talking about that with Michael Kravitz as well. And to think that we would deny these veterans not only an effective medicine, physically speaking, but also one that kind of makes you feel good, kind of makes you happy. It seems like that would be the first thing we'd want to get to our veterans.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with people being happy. This is actually a medicine that could be actually preventative. And that's a whole conversation that we can talk about. And the science is developing. Right now, what we know is this is a medicine. It's not for everybody, but it's helping a lot of people, and it's taking them off their pharmaceuticals and narcotics. And I'm proud to say I am a cannabis therapeutics physician, and Dr. DiMaggio said it beautifully. The endocannabinoid system was about for us to relax, eat, sleep, forget, and protect. And on those words, I'd like to say goodnight to all of you.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Uma. It's so nice talking to you. And Sharon Ravert there with Peachtree Normal. I know the legalization in Oregon and Alaska, following up on Colorado and Washington's got to have you guys all excited. How long do you think before we hit legalization in Georgia?
Well, we live it like it's legal in Georgia right now. It may take a little while, but we may be at the back of the pack, but we're going to bring up the rear in style.
Right on, right on. And how are your plans coming up for the upcoming year? I know you've had a Southern Reform Conference these past couple of years. Still looking to do that?
We're looking into it. We're going to be so busy this next year, and things are going to happen next year in Georgia. Everybody's saying we're going to get a medical bill of some sort in Georgia. So we're not sure about that yet. It's not set in stone. We're still trying to debate on whether we want to try and hold something that big again this year, or if maybe we should take a year off and maybe possibly let another state in the South hold that Southern Cannabis Reform Conference.
That would be fun. And I didn't follow the elections real close as far as Georgia went, but as far as the political landscape there, did you win or lose any battles? You get some new allies, or some folks you didn't want to get reelected are still there?
Well, Governor Deal got reelected, and there were pros and cons to having him reelected. You know, politically wise, he is working and with this medical bill, and we weren't sure how Jason Carter would do. He wouldn't really come out publicly about it. We thought he may have been more apt to help, but then you've got to look at the political landscape of Georgia. And regardless of what the governor does and is willing to do, if the legislator's not willing to support someone doing it, then that's not going to happen. And with Georgia being mainly Republican, we were concerned about Jason Carter getting in and maybe having headbutting going on between them over this medical bill. So pros and cons there. You know, David Perdue won over Michelle Nunn in the Senate, and they both were fairly equal when they answered the questions that we had in our voter's guide. So we feel pretty okay with what we've got. Regardless of whether we like it or not, we've got to move forward with what we have, and we plan on doing so.
All right. When it comes to normal chapters in the Deep South, I think Peachtree Normal is probably leading the pack and getting the word out there to the southern states on why marijuana legalization is so important. And this is an issue for all sides, for left, right, conservative, liberal, religious, a-religious. It doesn't matter. There is a reason for legalizing marijuana, and Peachtree Normal is helping that fight. Check them out at peachtreenormal.org. Sharon Ravert's the executive director down there, and Dr. Uma Donabalan is a citizen of the world who's helping down in Georgia as well. We'll see you soon, hopefully, for the next conference that's available there. Any other things you want to leave our audience with, or contact messages, anything like that?
Russ, I thank you very much, and I really appreciate this. And it's an opportunity for every patient to reach out to their healthcare providers. And I am here, and we got information, and we got templates, we got information that they can reach out to for education. And Sharon is there.
All right.
And if you have a question for the doctor, you can contact us. And send in the subject line question to Dr. Uma, and we will have her answer your questions. You can send those questions to contact@peachtreenormal.org.
All right. contact@peachtreenormal.org. Sharon, Dr. Uma, thanks so much for calling in on this Veterans Day, and best to you.
Thank you, and happy Veterans Day to all the veterans.
All right. All right, that's about all the time we got here on our first hour of the Russ Belville Show. Thank you all for joining us. The radical rant that we'd had planned, we're going to move that into hour two, so stay tuned. The long road from legal to equal. The radical rant's coming up in hour two. Toker Talk Radio. We'll also take your calls at 971-533-7111. We're going to lead off with a story that was tweeted my way through the account of Jasiri X, the hip-hop activist I met at a Drug Policy Alliance conference. Oh my God, you know how cops will do a SWAT raid and shoot your family pet and nothing ever happens? Well, guess what happens if you shoot one of their dogs? You're going to find out in hour two. That's all the time for Hour 1. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. For everyone here at 420radio.org, thanks for your support. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.